right, so two guesses what the topic is today, and your first guess doesn't count, right? So I bet you we're going to talk about fathers today. Fathers. So let me get my various scriptures ready here. Yeah, I was eating breakfast at 6:30 this morning, and I got a call from Becky, and I said, "Why are you calling me from Poland?" She said, "Dad, it is Father's Day." I'm like, "Oh." So I was a little surprised to be getting that call. All right. I'm almost ready here. Just want to get, I have a couple scriptures to read from a couple different versions. So they've been able to spend a lot of time with the five kids that they're relating with, but they also took some things over to help various other kids. And if I understood correctly, they gave one of their kids something, and he said, "Well, I don't really need that," and he passed that on to somebody he knew that needed it there in the orphanage. So, yeah, that's been pretty exciting. So as I was thinking about Father's Day, I was thinking about, well, what are the things that God has assigned fathers to do? What are their duties? What is their role? And so you could talk about a lot of things, but I just felt this morning to highlight three of those things. So number one, role of a father, something that God's assigned them to do, is to give us identity. So think about that with me. That's where you get your last name. It's your sense of belonging to a family. I'm part of the Gibb family, the Sabatini family, okay, the Duncan family, the Kimmel family. It's a sense of belonging to a family. And it's so important what fathers call us and name us. So if your mom comes to one of your sporting events or your band concert, and she's like, "Great job, great job." Well, you know, that's encouraging, and you're glad to hear it. And, you know, my wife would yell, "Break through their line," and "Push them back." And she would yell some of those kind of things. And she got so excited that the referee had to say, "Ma'am, this is a kid's soccer game." So, you know, she was out there encouraging and all of that. But whenever dads say something to us or about us, it settles in. And so fathers, that's quite an important role to have. Because if you tell your son or your daughter that they're doing something great, they're going to believe that. But if you tell them that they're terrible at something, they're going to believe that as well. What dads say is accompanied by the authority and the position. And so it really settles down in our souls. So the first thing that fathers are assigned and that fathers have a duty is to give us our identity. So think about that with me from the scriptures. Adam named all of the animals. He gave them their name. And if you remember the stories from the fathers of the faith throughout the Old Testament, they usually named the sons and the daughters. In fact, we're just going to think about a New Testament story. So Zacharias was, and his wife had not yet had any children. It didn't appear that they were going to have any children. But Zacharias was... Good morning. Morning, Miss Gloria. Hi. Well, I know, but I hadn't seen you before. You snuck in a little later there. Yeah, so that's our main amen corner back there. So when they get excited, then we hear them back there. So you just go right ahead and say amen this morning. See, there we go. So Zacharias was doing his duties, and he was visited by an angel. And the angel said, "Your wife's going to have a son." And he goes, "Well, I'm not sure how that's going to happen." And the angel said, "Well, you didn't believe, so now you're not going to be able to speak." So, of course, I'm condensing the story. So now the baby's born. And instead of having a gender reveal party, which we seem to have now, they had a naming party. So they invited their friends and their family over, and they were going to announce the baby's name. So the people in the crowd, they're talking, and they're saying, well, I bet she's going to be named Zacharias. And the other said, now, you know, I'm expanding a little on the story, so we're just picturing what these conversations were like. Somebody else would have said, well, I bet he's going to be named after his cousin John. Another one said, no, I think he's going to be named after Uncle Paul or Matthew or whatever. So they're all trying to think of names. And the mother says, no, we're not going to name him Zacharias. We're going to name him John. And they said, oh, that's right. I just gave that as an example. Well, she said, there's nobody in the family named. The people there at the party said, you don't have anybody in your family named John. Because that was the tradition. You named him from somebody in your part, in your family. And so it says they all turned, and I'm picturing that commercial, which I think is a dumb commercial, where everybody shifts in that crowded room. Okay, most of you didn't see it. So they all turn, and who do they turn to look at? They just said to Mom, what's he going to be named? And Mom said, John. And they said, no, you don't have anybody in your family named John. They all turned and looked at Dad to see what Dad was going to say, because Dad's named him. And the Lord opened his voice, and he said, his name is going to be John. Fathers give us our identity. Fathers give us our identity. So that's why it's so important for us as sons and daughters of Father God to know what he says about us. That's what should be settling in our souls. Not what we say about ourselves, not what other people have said about us, maybe not even what our mothers and fathers said about us, because maybe they said some things that weren't so good. You probably remember this. John was baptizing Jesus. And it says, Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down, and his Father, Father God, said from heaven what? This is my beloved, come on, son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's what every son and daughter want to hear, those exact words. They're loved, they're your son or your daughter, and that you're well pleased with them. So fathers, if you do that, you're excelling. Letting them know they're loved, letting them know that they're part of the family, and letting them know that you're proud of them or pleased with them. Come on, that could be the sermon right there. Just take that home and remember that much. I found it sort of interesting that over the last couple months, you know, we have various pastors on staff, and most of us are part-time, but the Lord brought us all here. But we've almost all given at least one message on our identities in Christ, our identity as sons and fathers. And I was thinking back, some of us have given three or four messages on that subject. So I think God wants us to get that it's important what he says about us. Because so many other people have said things, and maybe people are still saying things about you. Maybe they're talking about you behind your back. Maybe people at work are saying things to you or about you. But what's most important is what he says. Amen? Amen? You're falling down back there in the back row. All right, number two. So the first thing is identity. The second thing we're going to look at today is protection. Role of a father, protection. From Deuteronomy 31, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. Over and over, he appeared to people. He'd given them assignments, and then he said, but you don't have to fear because I'm going with you. I'm going ahead of you. You're not alone. By the way, your wife is welcome to bring your little one in unless she's going to be screaming and yelling. I have 9 grandkids, so that doesn't really bother me. If she wants to come into the service, that's up to you guys. Psalm 3, you, O Lord, are the shield about me. Come on. He said, even as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So when we go out, he is a shield. That's a shield to have. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield. Come on. How many of us need to know that with everything else going the way it's going, supply, pull into the gas station and about faint. I filled my vehicle up in 2 gas cans for the mower this summer, and I watched it pop over $100. They almost had to pick me off the ground. I went, whoa! So with all of the unsettledness, we need to know he is my rock. He is the fortress we can run to, the deliverer. Sometimes we just need delivered from the situation. 2 Thessalonians 3, the Lord is faithful. Pastor Kurt reminded us that this morning during his call to worship, or call doing worship, or whatever. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Yay. Come on, are we grateful about these things today that he does for us? And you all know Psalm 91. During the whole COVID season, I think we memorized it, painted it on our walls, maybe even put it across our forehead. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. It is he who delivers me, and he is our dwelling place. Come on, Psalm 109. He stands at the right hand of the needy to save them. That goes right along with my last message about he goes after the one that's lost, the one that's needy. It says he stands right by them. Often we're the ones that represent him there with the needy. We stand there with them. And Psalm 68. He's the father of the fatherless, and the protector of widows is God. Sharon, you know both those. Amen, amen, amen. Father of the fatherless and protector of the widows. So not only does he protect us and guard us, and he's our rock and our fortress and our shield, but it's so exciting that he gives us our own weapons. So we're going to take a moment and look at those. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but I thought, well, yes, the battle is the Lord's, but he also says he joins us in the battle. So sometimes he goes ahead and does it, and we could look at those examples in the scripture. They praised him, and the enemies were scattered. He went ahead of them, and they heard thunder and lightning and fighting, and they're gone. So sometimes he does the whole thing. We pray and he does the whole thing. Other times he says, my verse just disappeared while I was talking to you. So sometimes he says, but I'll go with you this time. I'll join you in the battle. So that's when we want to put on our armor, right? We want to make sure if we're going out to battle, and who knows, today we're living in the midst of a battle. We want to remind ourselves what our weapons are. So this starts out in Ephesians 6, a final word. Come on, this is the last thing I want to say to you here. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. All of God's armor. That means we need every piece, so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. He has strategies, doesn't he? But we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that, come on, he even gives us the reason, so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you are fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So a couple things just to draw our attention to these pieces of armor. That word for truth means something that's revealed, not hidden or concealed. And I thought of the verse Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're actually taking Jesus as our truth. It's light that you can see what is real and what is true. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks as well. We don't want to be believing lies. Lies may be about ourselves because people have said those things to us. Breastplate of righteousness means holy in action and in character. Holy in action and in character. Having a heart that wants what is right, treating people justly. Thought that was interesting. So when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we should be reflecting that in what we say and in what we do and how we treat people. Preparation of the gospel of peace on our feet. That means make yourself ready before you go out in the morning, before you leave the house. Make yourself ready, and it's talking about internal preparedness. So that means we go out with the right attitude and the right motive. So you know when you wake up in the morning, you really can choose. Am I going to start today in the right attitude and with the right motivation and the right motive, or aren't I? And sometimes we just get up on the wrong side of the bed. Stacy was telling me yesterday somebody had posted in one of the rescues about this new rescue they got. It was a little French bulldog. Cute little thing, but it said, he bites going in his cage, he bites coming out of his cage. He bites when he's afraid, he bites when you feed him, he just has that attitude. Well, some of us start the day with that attitude, right? And if anybody says anything to us, you know, bark, 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 or even bite, 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 right? And so we can choose our motivation and our attitude before we even leave the house. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel means good news or glad tidings. Remember the angel said, we bring you glad tidings of good news. So again, we can choose when we go out, when we show up at Walmart, when we go to Target, when we go to work, when we come to church. Okay, what is our attitude going to be? What is the good news that we're going to represent? So when someone encounters us, do they feel like, oh, that was a good encounter, they shared good news with me? Or are they like, yeah, I thought that that person was a Christian. Ouch. Or if a waitress waits on your table and you crank at her the whole time, and then you say, hey, can I pray with you about anything? Yeah, okay. Right? Your words have to match your actions. Come on, your words have to match your actions. And it said, put on the gospel of peace. Peace means be at rest and no turmoil. Turmoil. You know that people can sense that when you enter a room. And I am one of these people that sense things just in the atmosphere and in the room. So when I go in places, I'm like, oh, what's everybody all stirred up about in here today? And they haven't even said anything to me yet. But you can also do the opposite. When you go into a room, you can bring the peace of God and things will start to settle down. I've actually been able to think about that and decide that. Like, I'll be in situations and everybody will be all, and I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to get caught up in that. And I just bring my peace in. So we don't always think of peace as a weapon, do we? But Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Peace is powerful. So when it says that that's a weapon, we prepare our feet with the good news of peace, how many people need peace today? Come on. Everybody, including ourselves. So we can do that for each other. We can be iron sharpening iron. We can encourage one another and say, hey, I just sense that you're a little off today. I sense that there's some unsettledness. Can we just pray and receive God's peace today? And so that's, you know, part of what we can bring. A shield of faith. You all know faith. Come on. It means to be convinced, have constant reliance on, and to be persuaded of the truth. Not just know the truth, persuaded of the truth. And with that shield of faith, we can extinguish all the fiery darts, the missiles of the evil one. The helmet covers our minds and our brains. Helmet of salvation. You know why that's needed? Because for most of us, the battle is right here. The battle isn't out there. The battle is right here. We hear something and we entertain it. Or somebody does something and right away our mind goes, well, I'm never going to forgive them. They're going to regret ever doing that for me. Or we start thinking about, oh, what's today going to be like? And we get ourselves all stirred up and then there goes our peace. So it is often a battle of our minds. We're told in 1 Corinthians 2 that we have the mind of Christ. And then Romans 12:2 says that our minds can be transformed. So yes, it's true that we have the mind of Christ, but then it's our choice if we allow our minds to be renewed so that we get the thoughts out that need to go out and get the thoughts in that need to come in. Sword of the Spirit. Yep, that's the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that's not Logos, but it's Rhema, the spoken, uttered, poured forth report from God. So when He speaks truth to us, when He causes the written Word to come alive in us, that is our offense against the enemy. Remember Jesus said to him when he was tempted, said to the enemy, it is written. Okay, the truth, the inspired truth of the Word is our sword. That's the only offensive weapon we're given. Everything else was for defense. All right, so the second thing that a father does is protect. Third one, provide. Fathers are assigned to provide. The story that came to mind here is we know that Abraham had a promise, and he waited for the promise. God visited them again and reminded them of the promise, and Sarah laughed because she's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. That boat already sailed. I'm past that being able to happen in my body. And it happened. So they got this miracle. They had got this son. And then God says, take him to the mountain and sacrifice him. Whoa, come on. So he takes him up to the mountain. And on the way up, they gather the wood. And he builds the altar. And he has the wood there. And his son says to him, but Dad, where is the sacrifice? And his answer to Isaac is, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Just as he goes to sacrifice his son, God says, stop. I know now what your relationship and your commitment to me is like, that you were even going to sacrifice your son. And there was a lamb there in the bushes, and they sacrificed that. And he again prayed and said, God, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Hebrews 11 says, God has provided something better for us. And that word provided means he looked ahead and knew what we were going to need and provided it. So in this case, it's talking about the new covenant. God knew that we couldn't restore our relationship with him. He would have to do it. And it couldn't be through the old covenant. It would have to be through the new covenant. And then you know this next one. I mean, none of us are that new in the faith. And so when we come on Sunday mornings and we hear a message, I was thinking about this yesterday as I was reviewing it one more time. Why do we even have messages? Why do we have sermons? Why is that part of what we do Sunday morning? Well, sometimes it's to challenge us. Sometimes it's to cause us to grow. Sometimes it's to inspire us. Sometimes it's to cause us to be better Christians. Sometimes it's to help us grow in our relationship with God. And so most of the time, it's stuff you already know. But when the Holy Spirit comes and joins along with the message that the pastor is given, it has the ability to change us. When we had early morning prayer, we come in and we say, well, God, speak to us. Well, Marty already shows up ready. I don't know. This woman must get up at 4 a.m. every Sunday morning. She already comes with a bunch of scriptures. And she said, you know, today I feel like the scripture that says every word will accomplish what I've sent it forth to accomplish, that every word is going to accomplish what he desired it to accomplish today. Well, that's all she had to say to me. That lit my fire, because I don't want it to be what I'm saying to you. I want it to be what God's saying to you through the Holy Spirit, through my words. Okay, I said all that to say, you know this section of Scripture, but I believe you can still get something out of it today. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life. Wow, sometimes I need to have that on my refrigerator. As to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, as to what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap. They don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? Come on, are you? Thank you. And who of you by being worried, okay, there's another verse we need on our bathroom mirror. Who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life or a minute? If anything, it distracts from our lives because we're so worried and worked up and anxious. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grasses of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow's thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Ouch. Do not worry saying, what will we eat? And what will we drink? And what will we wear? And how are we going to pay for gas? And how are we going to buy groceries? Okay, that wasn't in there, just in case you thought it was. For the Gentiles eagerly seek after these things. Your heavenly Father already knows that you need these. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough concerns of its own. So one of the things that fathers do is provide. So my father was an awesome provider. He worked 7 days a week. Well, yeah, he did. I was going to say 6 days a week, but he actually worked a lot of Sunday afternoons. We'd come to church. We went to church every Sunday the whole time growing up. You know, even if my brother had to get a SWAT and end up in my class for not being willing to go into his Sunday school class, and they'd take him to his Sunday school class, and then I'd hear him through the walls crying, and the next thing I knew, teacher would say, he wants to sit with his brother. So he spent Sunday school with his brother. Yay! But we went every Sunday, and then we went home for lunch, and then Dad's office was in the basement the whole time I was growing up. He was a building contractor, and that's where he sent his bills. That's where he did his estimates. And so often Sunday afternoons, that's where he was. During the week, he worked 10, 12-hour days. When I'd get up to go to school, he'd already be gone. I'd come home from school, and he'd show up at supper time. And then again, he'd say, "Good night, boys," and he would go downstairs to work, and often my mother would go down with him. But he was an awesome provider. He made sure we had everything, and there were times where I recognized as a child that mom and dad didn't have so that we could have. Okay, I've got to move along here. In Matthew 6:8, it says, "Your heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask him." Matthew 6:8. So fathers help give us identity and a sense of belonging. They protect us and they provide for us. In 1 Chronicles, I almost said 1 Corinthians, that'd been the wrong section of the Bible. In 1 Chronicles, David had wanted to build the temple, remember? And he talked to God about it a number of times. And finally, God just came right out and said to him, "No, you're not building a temple. You're a man of war. You're not building my temple. But your son will build my temple." And so what David did was he wanted to make sure that the next generation could accomplish what he wasn't able to accomplish. So he provided a storehouse of things for the next generation to use to build the temple. So that when Solomon was ready to do it, Solomon opened the storehouse, and all he had to do was to add to what David had already provided. I thought that was an extremely interesting story. It's in 1 Chronicles 29. So it's important that we prepare for and leave an inheritance for the next generation. Not just in the physical, but in the spiritual as well. True fathers, loving fathers, and Father God not only give us the things we need for survival, but they want to give us enough that we thrive. And I didn't look up a bunch of scriptures because I'd already shared a lot with you and I didn't want to have this message go too long. But a number of times it tells us that God provides more than enough. More than enough. Not just barely enough. So we as earthly fathers, we as spiritual fathers. Okay, so just like when we talked about mothers on Mother's Day, we know that some of you may not be earthly fathers, but you can be spiritual fathers. You can mentor. You can disciple. You can challenge other men and young women in the church to grow in their relationship with the Lord. You can teach classes. And we're getting ready to start some more of our spiritual growth intensive classes where we're challenging you to reach out and grow spiritually, and we're giving you a chance to do some of those things. But we as fathers don't want our children just to have barely enough. You want them to have more. You know, you don't want to just feed them enough that they have enough nutrition not to pass out. You want to provide extra food for them. And Father God says he even gives us an abundance so that we have something to share. Because there are some people who are needy. And so freely you've received, freely give. So again, fathers do that, both physical fathers and spiritual fathers. We want our children to thrive and even have an abundance. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Welcome. I told your hubby you're more than welcome to stay there. Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who is able to do," come on, "exceeding abundantly." Now, how big is that? Okay, exceedingly would be enough. Abundantly would be enough. But the scripture says he wants to come and do exceedingly abundantly. Come on, is that just barely enough? I mean, that is so much you can't even contain. Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond, above and beyond, all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Wow. Fathers want us to have not just enough, not just more than enough, but an abundance
to share.
So this morning, as we wrap up, I want us to make sure that we are grateful and thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that provides for us, who gives us identity and a sense of belonging, and who protects us. But also that we have earthly fathers, physically or spiritually, who do the same thing and have done the same thing, that have given us identity, given us a sense of belonging to the family, who have provided for us and protected us. So let's stand, and as we do, I just want us to, first of all, thank our Heavenly Father, but second of all, to make sure that if our earthly fathers are still around, that we thank them today and let them know how grateful we are. But then also, men of God who have spoken into your lives, men of God who have challenged you and encouraged you, and you could just say, hey, thank you for fathering me. Thank you for mentoring me and discipling me and caring about me and giving me identity and belonging. So let's just take a minute and talk to our Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you love each of us to the place that you've drawn us to yourself and you've called us your own. You said that you've adopted us into the family as sons and daughters. So we belong to you now. And we thank you that we're part of the family of God. We're so grateful. Father, we thank you that you are our fortress and shield and deliverer, that you are our protector. We thank you as we think back over our lives, all the times that you went ahead of us and protected us, all the times that you went with us and protected us, all the times that you were our rear guard and protected us, and that you protect us today, and you'll protect us tomorrow, that you will be our shield. We thank you for the weapons that you've given us that we can protect ourselves and that we can defend ourselves against the enemy. Father, we thank you for your provision, for the times that you've provided for us, for the times that we did not see how we were going to be able to pay that bill or meet that obligation, but you came through. And we thank you that your desire is to not just have us get by, but to give us more than enough, exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can think. And we can think pretty big, but you want to give us exceedingly abundant. So today, even as we think about needs that we have, especially in this current financial climate, instead of fear, we ask for peace. And we ask that you would just remind us that you are the one that came that we could have life and have it abundantly, and that you will provide, that you will make a way. And so we trust in you as our good Father. We are so grateful today. And Father, as we think about our earthly fathers, as we think about our spiritual fathers, we're so grateful that you brought them into our lives. We ask that you would bless them today, encourage them today, strengthen them today. And Holy Spirit, remind us to let them know how grateful we are that they were part of our lives. Father, as we go today, we go as those that bring the good news with us. You tell us to prepare our feet to go. And so we want to leave here today knowing that we have that good news to share and that we represent you by standing beside those that are in need, those that are sick, those that are lost. We represent you today by standing next to them and sharing the good news, the glad tidings of the gospel, and bringing peace where peace is needed. And the saint said,
Amen.